The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
So Davey Murray's in the hot seat, of course, Betterment Show. We'll be inside 1 hour here with the lunchtime doctor, Dr. Brittany and Dr. Taylor in studios. And good afternoon, good people.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It is great to be here again.
All right, Miss Super National in the building. Yeah, no, this woman is a doctor. She's a weightlifter trainer. What else this woman is? They need to make her a wife and a mother soon. Yeah, so she ain't got much time to go and do all them other things. You know? She'll be real busy. You know, so good afternoon, guys. Welcome back here. I mean, of course, the phone line 627-3223 and 625-2257. You know, yesterday somebody messaged me and I'm looking for it. But I can give you guys the description. Mm-hmm. They talked about the back part of the thigh, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. coming to the side of the leg, mm-hmm. and ending at the calf, a pain, mm-hmm. that comes ever so often, mm-hmm. and hits them, mm-hmm. and there's like, you know, he says he hits it and then it travels down and it ends on the calf.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, mm-hmm. we could start with that because I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
But remember yesterday I told you some people was listening.
Yes.
So
yes.
They asked me to put that question out first and foremost this afternoon. So
yeah, that's a very interesting question. And it sounds like something called neuropathy. Mm-hmm. So there is a nerve. So we have different types of nerves, mm-hmm. right? So you have the spine, and then from the spine we have the roots, and then the nerve roots will bring out big nerves. And then after that, you also have the nerves that go to the muscles, mm-hmm. and the vessels, and then you have nerves to the skin. So this specific nerve is called the lateral cutaneous nerve of the thigh.
The what?
So all it means is the nerve that travels on the outer surface,
yeah.
of the thigh,
yeah.
right?
Well, you forgive me. I hear that big word there. I trying to figure out. And I went all was in medical school. All you remember all these things, man?
You have to do it over and over and over again. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So you're thinking that could be the problem that the gentleman is experiencing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's quite common, actually. So you could have what you call an entrapment syndrome. So the nerve can be compressed from upper in the groin area,
mm-hmm.
and essentially it could cause pain every now and then based on position. Sometimes.
Yeah, but then how do we fix that? Is that irreversible? Is that something that you had to live with until you're dead? What's the position?
That's
there?
A good question. So one of the things that you'd want to do, one, is lose some weight, because sometimes it's due to the fat, you know, forming in on itself and actually compressing the nerve. That is one way. The other thing is there are medications that could help in terms of that specific type of pain,
mm-hmm.
because neuropathic pain has to be managed a little differently from other pain like headaches, mm-hmm. and muscle pain and all these other things. So definitely, one, lose some weight. Two, check the doctor, because they will give you the specific drug, which I will not call online.
Mm, well, right? Okay, right,
and then they could give you the drug, and that could actually help manage the pain.
Well, this fella, boy, he will be weighing 110 pounds. You know, big fella, you know?
Right, right.
No big guy at all.
Yeah, but yeah. Something else that we could talk about in terms of nerve pain could be something like sciatica as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So usually it will start, you know, a little above the glute area and go straight down, travel to the legs, straight to the toes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he may be experiencing a little bit of sciatica as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't diagnose somebody.
I know. As I told him last evening, I said, listen, when I put that information on air, remember they don't have no history on your medical records or nothing like that, or whether you were suffering from something before,
yes.
or your mother trade on your head as a child. We don't know. But the thing is, you know, I can't put it out there because I believe it was something that probably...
It seems nerve-related just because of the radiation and the area of travel.
Mm-hmm.
So it does seem something nerve-related. If it was more in terms of the bone or the muscle tissue, it usually will stay at that specific point or in that specific area. But the fact that it's traveling from the leg, goes straight down to the calf, it seems nerve-related.
So let me ask you a question. How do these things happen? How do we develop? Mm-hmm. Is it that you kick a ball bad, you sleep bad, you walk? I can't imagine.
Yeah, so depending on the specific type of nerve injury, right, that will determine the mechanism. So for example, the sciatica, occurs when you have the nerve traveling through the spinal column, and the nerve becomes irritated in terms of movement. So you'd realize, like, if you are sitting down for long, etc., the pain may become worse. Mm. And then when you stand up, you get relief because of the moving between the spinal column. That is one mechanism. So you have inflammation, just like how you have arthritis.
Yeah, yeah.
You have inflammation of the nerve root.
All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to Dr. Brittany and the other guests.
Mm-hmm, Dr. Taylor.
I want to make 2 points, please.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, for the sciatica nerve-related pain,
mm-hmm.
I have recommended to certain individuals who had in my age group, and they took the 369 and the Neurobind Fort.
Okay.
For about 3 months period,
mm-hmm.
and it worked well for them,
mm-hmm.
from being in severe pain,
mm-hmm.
in about a month time, they were painless with
right.
the 369, the omega fish oil.
Yeah.
Okay, my next point is,
mm-hmm.
a friend of mine, he is on several medication.
Mm-hmm.
Although he is on a proper diet with regards to being diabetic-wise,
mm-hmm.
He is still finding himself, and he's exercising and all of that,
mm-hmm.
and he's still finding himself with a high, not really high, but being pre-diabetic, in that his HbA1c is like about 6.2, you know, and it went up from 5.6,
mm-hmm.
to and it keep going up by a point, you know,
mm-hmm.
until it reached now to 6.2. You know, and he is exercising, he is eating, you know, right, and on a good diet and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But could it be that the his various medication, you know, plenty medication he is on.
Mm-hmm.
So could it be the medication or something that is causing a jerk reaction to it? I'll listen off it. Thank you, Dr. Brittany. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Thank you very much.
So, in regards to the rising HbA1c,
mm-hmm.
and just for the listeners, the HbA1c is a test that we use to diagnose diabetes, and it basically tells the amount of glucose within your system for the last 3 years. I mean, sorry, 3 months, my bad, right?
Mm.
And when we are diagnosing diabetes, it's usually 6.5 and above. Now, his friend is pre-diabetic, so the 5.5 to that 6.2 range is pre-diabetes. But the fact that it's rising means that something is going wrong in his system. Even though he is exercising and eating well, we still have to ask ourselves, what is eating well for you? What is exercising for you? You know, that may be exercising. Exercising for you may be taking a 5-minute walk, when the recommendation is actually 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise per week. So just doing, you know, just a 5-minute walk is probably not enough for your system. And eating well, are you eating a lot of fruits and thinking that is healthy for you? But as a diabetic, fruits has a lot of sucrose in it and fructose in it, and that actually tends to spike your blood sugar levels. So even though you think that you're eating healthy, it may not be in actuality healthy for a diabetic, and that is why it may be spiking still. So it is important that diabetes is managed in a multidisciplinary way. So a dietitian is usually on board to guide a diabetic on what foods is appropriate for them to eat. Because eating healthy for us is, yeah, okay, we can eat a certain amount of fruit, a certain amount of vegetables, but when you get to somebody who has diabetes, you are going to need to cut down that amount of fruits from an average person for a diabetic person. So eating healthy for them is completely different from eating healthy for us. So it is important and imperative that while you're pre-diabetic, that you still get that knowledge that you need to go about eating healthy for the way that you need to be eating healthy, and exercising the way that you need to be exercising. And the fact that he's already on medications, maybe he does need a higher dose of medication. So it is important that he goes back to his doctor. They go through his full history, what he's eating in terms of his exercise, all these things. So they will know what to tweak. You know, you can't just go doing things by yourself because sometimes you can do more harm than good.
You know, I was just going to ask you, you know, when you talk about healthy eating, you know, is taking a break from food, you know, a fast, is that a very safe, healthy way to lose weight or to go on a diet, as it were?
So, yeah, intermittent fasting, for example, has its benefits. It has been associated with weight loss. It has been associated with lowering your A1C as well, too. But if someone is diabetic and you're going about doing this, I would recommend they see the doctor first, because they can have adverse reactions. They could have situations where the blood glucose goes too low, they black out, and it can be very catastrophic. But for a normal person, and potentially those with pre-diabetes, it has been evidence approved in terms of lowering the A1C, etc.
But then, how do we know when it's to check for diabetes? Is it that has it ever been recommended or practical to tell everybody in Trinidad and Tobago, here, we're going on, just go and do a diabetes test? Or
for sure, definitely. Yeah. Yep.
But definitely, the people that we definitely say you need to come and do your diabetes test as people who start experiencing those symptoms of diabetes when they start getting the weight loss, when they start experiencing passing urine or frequency of the urine has increased, when they're passing large amounts of urine, when their urine is starting to have a sweet sort of smell as well. So it is very important and imperative if they're feeling excessively hungry, excessively thirsty, things like that. We tell people to come and check themselves for diabetes, especially if you have risk factors for diabetes, like a family history, if you have other comorbidities like high blood pressure, and if you are obese as well. It is very imperative that you come and you check yourself to make sure that, okay, you're pre-diabetic, we can tweak certain things in your management so that it does not develop into full-blown diabetes. But if you are diabetic, then there are certain things that need to be taken into consideration. Do you need to go on medication? Is just a lifestyle change going to be enough to help reverse this this diagnosis of diabetes? So it is a lot of things you have to take into consideration as well.
So if we catch it on the early onset.
Mm-hmm.
So we go and we do our diabetes test and we realize that, first of all and foremost, what is pre-diabetes? Pre-diabetes, what is this? Because we understand when you have diabetes, so you're a diabetic person, you're a patient. But when you, what is the pre-diabetes? What is this?
So when we're talking about pre-diabetes, we usually assess or diagnose diabetes based on a number or a value. So we will add a value to, for example, the random blood glucose is usually the little prick test that we do on the finger. So if somebody comes with and they have a prick test of over 200, then, you know, we start to think along the lines of diabetes. Then we do something called an HbA1c, which I mentioned before, which is that test that tests for sugar in your blood for the past 3 months. If that is over 6.5, then we can say that you are diabetic. But if it has a range of that 5.5 to about 6.3, then we can say that you are pre-diabetic.
So and that means your only way to becoming
diabetic.
At that stage, we could pull it back a little bit. Do we do? What happens?
Lifestyle, usually at that pre-diabetic stage, that is the stage where we say, okay, time to change the way that you are eating, time to change the way that you are exercising. If you're not exercising at all, time to exercise.
So when you do that, is it that those numbers are going to drop now? Is it that you're going to you're going to reach a stage where you're no longer pre-diabetic?
Yes.
And you're normal?
Yes. Yeah.
So you could go back to eat your sugars and you think,
No.
Because then you'll go back to the
pre-stage.
Yeah. Yes.
So your lifestyle changes
has to be maintained. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somebody is texting here, I am a 28-year-old female and at night when I lay down, I get discomfort, kind of nerve pain feeling in my lower legs. I only get relief with a massage. It feels like I can't keep my legs still. It's a 28-year-old female.
Right, so that sounds like one of two things. One, we're looking at nerves again. And it could be some sort of nerve impingement that happens when she's lying down,
mm-hmm.
or it could be some sort of chemical imbalance that is causing things to happen, like muscular spasms, right? So I would suggest definitely you go to the doctor. They're going to assess you with a full neurological exam, and based on that, they'll decide if it warrants going to have your blood test done, looking for the electrolytes, the potassium, the calcium, mm-hmm.
but then,
and sodium.
But then you walk into the Port of Spain General and tell them you want to do this. What is the likelihood I'm going to get this done? So you're literally telling me we have to go and spend money by a lab.
What? No, I wouldn't say that. So essentially, you go in with your symptoms. Mm-hmm. And based on your symptoms, the doctor's going to say, okay, this sounds like X. Or, you know what, we need a little more information. Let's do a blood test. That is what
and
will
it,
happen.
And it yes. starts from there.
Yes. Yeah.
But, it can't be treated as an emergency. So don't go into the accident and emergency
health
department.
Center.
Health Check center. The health center first.
Yeah. Exactly.
And start working your way up from there.
Yeah.
You know, another one says, how can I do AA1C without fasting?
HbA1c.
Well, I see an AA.
You don't need to be fasting. There is a fasting, an oral glucose tolerance test that is a fasting test for diabetes. But for the HbA1c, you don't need to be fasted.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, I hear that. You know, what is a pinched nerve? I heard it's a very painful thing.
So that
what is
essentially the same thing we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Like for the example, the sciatica.
Mm-hmm.
The nerve is now pinched by the spinal column. There are certain things called facets or little bony projections that come off the spinal column.
Mm-hmm.
And they could just pinch the nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And this could happen in certain positions. Mm-hmm. You know, so like if you are leaning forward or so for some people, if you're standing up, you could actually have the pinch happening.
Yes.
And even in, like, if you have osteoarthritis, you have collapse of the joint space in the spinal column now. So, again, it pushing the facets onto the nerve, which could irritate it and aggravate it.
But is that something irreversible? Could it be, or?
Again, it depends on the mechanism. So, the osteoarthritis is irreversible, right? You could kind of slow the progression, but it depends on if the bone is actually eroded completely or not. But other mechanisms where it's only like the facet approaching the nerve itself, you can do things like anti-inflammatory steroids and different things to actually reduce that inflammation in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And that could potentially be reversed. So it's all dependent on the cause of the pinched nerve.
You said that the diabetes, somebody now text me, but I think they pull it back. You said that diabetes was something that is a life-changing event that happens in a person's life. So at no time at all, a person will resume some form of normalcy once you have been diagnosed.
So once you have been diagnosed with diabetes, you can, depending on how early it is. Now, when you reach the stage of complications, definitely we're talking about pharmaceutical drug involvement, right? Mm. But if you have the early stages of diabetes, yes, you need to be eating healthy and healthy for a diabetic.
For you.
Yes, mm-hmm. for you.
So healthy eating is not something generalized. That's what I learned here this afternoon so far, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
That people say, well, I eat a salad today.
Right.
You know, I ask you about fasting because somewhere I read that once you're not eating, your body tends to hold on to foods when it does get it. So you start to put on weight.
Yes.
So you hold on whole day and the body got to realize, nah, boy, this food ain't coming. So when it does come, I'm going to hold on to something here because I ain't sure when the next meal is coming.
So, I mean, that can go all the way back to caveman days. We used to hold a lot of weight in the stomach because you're not eating for days or weeks at a time. So that is honestly where people will tend to put on the largest amount of weight, and that would sustain them because that is what would be breaking down, you know, when they're going days without, and that is how our body has evolved, you know.
Interesting.
A lot of it's a fun fact, you know, a lot of people don't know that. But yes, definitely when you have actually been diagnosed as a diabetic, I would definitely not suggest that you go back to etc. because you're just asking to get a diagnosis of diabetes again.
So then, I mean, can we reiterate to persons after we take this break, mm-hmm. the severity of diabetes and where it leads to? Mm-hmm. So that's the question we come back with, right? The severity of it, the importance of it, and where it can lead you.
Yes.
What can be the end result? Mm-hmm. You know? So stick around. It's now 12:30. We take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
Give yourself the care you deserve. Treat yourself with state-of-the-art medical technology and medical professionals that put your healing first. Health City Cayman Islands is here to provide you and yours with the care and healing you need. They are a full-service healthcare provider operating in the Cayman Islands to ensure that the entire Caribbean region can access quality healthcare. Call Health City now at 868-720-4019. That's 720-4019 and reach them via email at tt@healthcity.ky. For full details on their services, visit healthcitycaymanislands.com. That's healthcitycaymanislands.com. Health City, leading you to your best health.
Once again, you got to lean into a healthier life with a GNC Total Lean, where actual science meets tasty flavors to make your wellness journey fun, delicious, and way more convenient. GNC Total Lean is a complete brand of weight management supplements, Total Lean meals, replacements, and snacks. Not only can the high-quality products help you on your weight management journey, but they are also great solutions for living an overall healthier lifestyle. Available at GNC stores, supermarket, and pharmacies nationwide. Visit GNCTT on Instagram for more information.
Eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brown Optometrists take care of it for you. They are the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams such as pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and much more. Just ask. They'll also provide a range of stylish and practical spectacles, frames, and sunglasses for all ages, and soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contacts, all to meet your needs. Contact Dalton Brown Optometrist today at 667-3115 for your consultation. Visit them on social media at Dalton Brown Optometrist and check out their locations at the corner of Queen and Sojano Street, Arima.
This is the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5. Speak your mind.
Speak your mind.
Welcome back, folks. Just about 28 minutes on the upswing to the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome back. We have some questions. I can't remember the question I asked you before I go now. Right.
Diabetes.
So let's, before you answer my question, I'd like to take the questions of those that are texting me. Somebody says, good day. Do I have to keep away from sugar completely if I'm a diabetic? And how would my energy, or where would my energy be coming from?
Excellent question. And, you know, this is a myth. So first thing is one, we don't need carbohydrates to survive, right? Mm-hmm. That is the first thing. Two, where's the energy coming from? Now, the energy will actually be coming from fats, right? Now, the question you ask is, do you need to stay away from sugar completely? The answer to that is no, right? But there's a caveat, meaning certain foods that you eat will have sugar in them. But then when we say sugar, what are we really referring to, right?
Something sweet.
Right, but so there are different types of carbohydrates, right? Simple, complex. So I think we need to understand the difference. Put it simply, the simple refined sugars is what we should stay away from. These are the things that are processed, all the candy, the sweets, the cakes, and you know, all these type of things. Definitely stay away from those things. However, the complex carbohydrates are very helpful, especially for diabetics. Reason being is they actually prevent or delay the insulin spike. That is the benefit of a complex carb. If you eat a simple carb, you're going to have an insulin spike, and then the sugar is going to go extremely low, and you're going to have these cravings, and then your whole blood sugar profile is going to go off.
Wait.
That is why you need to avoid those things if you are diabetic.
Good day. I find that my blood sugar reading is high between 120 to 129 in the morning, but after breakfast, it goes now to a reading of 90 to 93. What accounts for the high reading?
So that, yeah, that's a very good question. However, we would need to understand the context. One, is the patient diabetic? Has he been tested for diabetes? Because a fasting blood sugar of greater than 126 with symptoms is a diagnostic.
Yeah,
that is diabetes. So then is it that he's on medication? Is he on insulin? Is he on, you know, these other drugs that are causing the difference in terms of the sugar? How is he eating? You know, so this has to be taken into context. Is he exercising? All these different parameters
we need to look at.
Yeah.
A person on insulin, all right? Now, we know the body normally generates insulin.
Yes.
And insulin is inserted manually when a person's body no longer does it. So let's talk about what part of the body supposed to generate insulin to begin with and what it is.
So it's the pancreas is supposed to produce insulin. Insulin is like the key that you use to open the door to the cells or the tissues that need the sugars, right?
Okay.
Now, in type 2 diabetes, the insulin, or basically the lock on the door, is no longer working adequately. Therefore, it cannot open these doors to let the sugars go into the tissues that need them. Therefore, it stays in the bloodstream instead. Do you understand that?
I do understand that. So so now you insert this. Now,
So when we're talking about type 1 diabetics, they do not produce insulin at all.
So there's no lock,
there's
the lock break?
No, or nothing.
Is that the door closed?
No. The pancreas is not producing the insulin.
So that is there's, not, so the
so
door lock?
Yeah.
The key exactly. break in the lock, the door can open. So the cell's not getting.
No.
So where the sugar is? The sugar is within the organs?
The blood.
The sugar is in the blood. So it's trapped in there.
Yes.
And without the key to come out. To go to where
it
needs
to go into the tissues, the muscle tissues, any tissues that,
needs the sugar.
It's not. Yes.
Okay.
And that is why type 1 diabetics, they from a young age, they tend to have to inject themselves with
insulin. Okay, I have a question. I'll follow up on that. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Continue doing a good job.
Thank you.
My question is, I don't have to give my mom the insulin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we just keep it in the fridge. Mm-hmm. Is that temperature good in the fridge? Is that the correct temperature to keep the insulin? And when you have to, should you take it out and throw it out? Or it's okay to give it to she cool? I'll listen off, eh?
All right,
okay.
Cool.
Yeah, no, that's the good temperature, the correct temperature to store it at. You could also look at the bottle and see what temperature they recommend. Sometimes they may say like 14 to 27 degrees.
Yeah, but so telling me that and I put it in the fridge, I don't know my fridge temperature.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's them I keep refrigerated.
So
exactly.
So keep it in the fridge.
So here's this.
And he can give
he
it
can give
once
it.
It's right out of the fridge.
So
this
come in a dose? In a specific amount.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't put too much into the body, right?
No.
You go dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
You go hypoglycemic.
Yeah.
You see, I like to be very blunt with it. I want people to know if you do too much, you're going dead.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, right? So do I have to put this in every day?
Yeah.
And how many times per day?
Excellent question. Now, to put it simply, there are different types of insulin, meaning different durations of action. So from the longest, we have up to 36 hours. And that means every day, once a day, you can inject this patient, right? And then we have the shorter acting, which could be 4 to 6 hours.
What?
So, yeah. So depending on which one you are recommended or can afford, that is determining how many times you do it for the day. So most people have to do it morning and night. Right, so they have a short acting and a long acting. However, some people do the one injection and that's it.
So once your body has failed to produce insulin, you are telling me that for 365 days, if I miss one day, how detrimental or how bad is that?
So
how severe?
That depends on how you eat that day as well, because if you're eating very high sugar foods that day and you miss your insulin, then your blood sugar is going to skyrocket very high, because nothing is moving from the blood. So it really depends on how you eat that day. But when somebody is a type 1 diabetic, they are taught from very young not to miss their insulin. So you would very rarely see the type 1 diabetics not missing any type of shot for them.
So then, okay, does the high sugar content in your bloodstream get you a little bit delirious?
It can.
Mm-hmm. Do you behave, you know, differently?
Yes.
Because there was an experience I heard during the Point Fortin celebration. My friend was telling me, mm-hmm. he said, we going down there, a group of them went. Mm-hmm. And on the way up, now I know, I recently learned of one of my, you know, football brethren, I do players watch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think I was telling, he was talking to her yesterday.
Yeah.
He said, boy, the man coming up in the car, the man talking a language like he talking Chinese.
Right.
He just all over the place.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So they all deduce in the car, maybe his sugar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, they say, boy, that man sugar real bad. And he's like 30 something, you know. Mm-hmm. He's an old man. Mm-hmm. He early 30s, 31, 32.
Yeah.
And he's really terrible. So that's what make me ask you. So wait, this can have you. They say, boy, the man in the car, the man resting up his leg on people. The man, mm-hmm. it's like he can't control himself, you know.
Yeah.
So
it could happen in both ways, right? So I could tell you, I've seen a patient miss the dose for one day. Mm-hmm. And the next day, they're in a coma.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like that. Easy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is how important it is not to miss your medication.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then adding to that, not to overdose.
Yes.
So it is coming in a vial?
Yes.
So you have a bottle and then you pull it with the syringe.
There's an insulin syringe.
Oh, you buy that and then you are to inject yourself?
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, it's very important you don't do too much and you don't do
too little.
If you do too much, and that is why I don't know if you've ever experienced it, when somebody faints, we tend to look for something very sugary to give them one time.
Yeah, why?
That's because we think or we deduce that maybe they're hypoglycemic, meaning their blood sugar has gone too low. And if that happens, then somebody can end up in a coma very quickly.
Mm-hmm. So you have no money in this country, you going dead. Because, no, I'm being real, because you are talking about buying, you have to get cases of this.
We actually have CDAP.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So CDAP.
Yeah. So you can get it free, thank God.
Amen, yeah. Jesus. All right.
Usually in the hospital, once they are diabetic, even if they are being treated for something else, we usually write for them to get insulin syringes and needles to carry home.
Yeah.
Even if they're treating for a broken leg, but you're diabetic, we still write it on your prescription so that you can get that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so CDAP provides it. So mm-hmm. you go and you get your prescription monthly or fortnightly, however, as a patient, you will get it.
Some of us actually, we would write it for months and then they'll just come back and collect from the pharmacy.
Oh, so you might give them a 6-7 months down the road.
Yeah.
So they go every month and they get their collected.
Yes.
And then when that prescription, so they have to be cognizant of this thing and remember to come and get that prescription refilled because failing to do so,
oh boy,
very, very untidy.
We do see the ramifications of people not taking their medication a lot. So you would rarely see the person who is being compliant with the medication.
Yeah.
You would more see the person who will take it for one day and then stay away from it for about 4 days and then take it again. And then they come in with a complication. That is what brings them to the hospital.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Good afternoon to the panel. I checked my glucose this morning at around 8:30 a.m. Reading was 96. I am 63 years old. I'm a female. Not diabetic. And no meds.
Good.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So that is good.
So that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Good day. The blood testing for diabetes is blood testing for diabetes the only way to test blood glucose, or is there any other way such as hormonal testing? Mm-hmm. My reason for this question is because diabetes runs in my family, but my blood test says I'm within normal glucose range. Why is that? I get migraines and tingling sensations in my feet when I consume some types of milk, and it's worse if I consume anything with refined white sugar, even in small amounts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this person is saying they have a history, family.
So if you have a family history, that is not a sentence for you to say that I will have diabetes. You know, we always say diabetes is a lifestyle disease. So yes, your mother or father, you are living a healthy lifestyle, eating properly, exercising every day, eating in moderation. Definitely, you are not on the track to getting diabetes. Just because your parents have had it does not mean that you are subjected to having it.
Well, I'm happy that you all say that, because I was always taught, you know, that or told that, you know, it's a hereditary disease.
It's a risk factor if you subject yourself to the same lifestyle that your parents had.
Somebody tell me to ask you about my belly fat. Let me, you know, this man all the way out in the US, say, ask the doctor about your belly fat. Afternoon, if your HbA1c comes back at 6.2, which is pre-diabetic, could this be reversed, or or am I just being diabetic? Well,
no,
we did talk about the reversal.
It can be reversed.
But even if, even though it's reversed, in terms
you
of,
you still have to maintain that diet. And
then there's no
reversal.
I just won't be diabetic.
No, you will reverse the effects.
The potential
the harmful complications that comes with it, but
you will prevent diabetes.
Right, you're preventing it, but you can't do like the doctors and I don't even know the doctor's diabetic. I don't know. But you just can't eat normal again. You just had a rock back and chillax, and your mother baking nice cake. You had to leave that alone.
See, when you are at that point where you are out of that pre-diabetic range, now moderation becomes a thing. So while you are pre-diabetic, you have to stay away from fruits like a normal diabetic. You have to stay away from certain things that an average person can consume in moderation. But when you go back to that point, then, you know, things in moderation is fine, you know? And you don't want to get yourself back to the point by over-consuming processed or refined sugars. You can just do things in moderation now.
So with diabetes type 1, that's the worst. I don't know.
You could say that because insulin dependent.
So there's type 1, 2.
There's just type 1 and type 2.
There are others,
but
they get complex.
It gets too complex. So we usually just stick with type 1 and type 2.
We don't try and get too complex now, boy, because you're sad to scare people. I want them to continue listening to Lunchtime Doctor. Because I often wonder as doctors how you all feel, you know, knowing that so much of these diseases or harmful things are out there. How do you all even manage your stress levels in terms of treating with patients and even checking your own selves, you know? I don't know, but I kudos. You know, is it better to just live stress-free and not know about these things?
Definitely not.
Because but is it that added stress comes on to a person because I now know?
True.
It will stress, because God, I'm diabetic. So if I get a little, if a mosquito bite me, I'm worried. If I slice my finger cutting tomatoes, I'm worried.
But what I would say is, now that is your perception now. So now you have to look at the thing. Okay, now I know I have it. Let's fix it.
Okay.
That is one option. And the other option is, oh my gosh, you know, I'm gonna die, and you know, there's nothing that could save me. That is the other option. You understand? So you now have to decide which option or which route you are taking. It could be a death sentence to you, or it could be, okay, now time to fix things.
A life-changing experience. Yeah.
But diabetes, once, all right, so a person in their early 30s, late 20s with type 1, is it that they, I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody out there, but I'm being real with my questions, right? Is it that, you know, they can live, they can expect a normal life, you know, expectancy in terms of...
Once they're taking their medications.
Once they're taking their insulin, they should be fine.
Because evidence shows that once you control your blood sugars, you are actually at the same risk as everybody else, even if you have diabetes. And that's the most important thing.
And I also want to add to this, while we're talking about insulin, yes, we mostly use it for type 1 diabetics, but when type 2 diabetics get so bad that the drugs itself cannot work for them, then you will find them going on insulin. That is when it reaches that stage where nothing else is really working. We really need to up their dose and put them on insulin.
This thing is really scary, but it seems like it was done AIDS. What you saying?
I have actually heard some doctors say they would prefer to get
HIV. Well, I mean,
as opposed to
yeah? I think so. I mean, I didn't mean to attain anything into anybody, you know, but I've been real. You know, when you think about your health and what is happening in the world, because how could we avoid certain foods? We try to tell ourselves, we go to the supermarket and we buying vegetables and we buying our sweet peppers and so forth. But these things have a shelf life.
Yes. Yeah.
How do you know? Try buying it by a vegetable stall outside. Passing City Man has some fresh pimentos today. Yeah. Come back 2 days later, you realize, but the pimentos wilting. Check the supermarket. If you come back 3 days later and see the same pack, standing up strong.
Yeah.
You know, it's like bottled water, wasa water.
Wow.
Which one is, you know, because the bottled water have a shelf life.
Yeah.
Wasa water, don't. Take wasa water, put it in a bottle, put it on the shelf. You can't get something green inside of there. Yeah.
You know what I would say to that? Because that is a big concern a lot of people have. I would say that there are different levels to being healthy and wellness. I think first you have to check the basic levels first, generally eating healthy. After you get to that point, then we start to pick the nitty-gritty. Okay, this may have pesticides. You know, this one is a little more processed than the next one. So most people want to get to that point before they generally eating healthy.
Well, somebody now mentioned, as I'm talking eating, right? They said, inquire if the order in which you eat your food impacts glucose levels, right?
Yeah.
That is, should you eat carbs followed by protein, vegetables, and fat, or should you eat carbs, then fast for a little bit, or eat the carbs last?
Yeah. Excellent question. So let me deal with that, right? So essentially, this is very useful information. So carbs, protein, and fat can spike your insulin, right? But carbs is the worst, meaning they will spike at the highest.
Mm-hmm.
Fat second and protein last.
Yeah. Protein, okay.
So, i.e., you could start your meal with protein first, then fat, right? Fat and protein delay the absorption and the breakdown of food, meaning they slow it down, so you don't have the spike. Then at the end, you consume the carbs. So now, the fats and the proteins actually kind of dulling that carb spike, which would obviously cause the insulin to spike as well too.
Well, somebody's now asked, but that's good information, because I've heard doctors say, depending on what you put together on a plate, can help you put on weight or even lose.
Yes.
So people feel, if I stop eat meat, I'm going to lose, I'm going to be better. Now, I have two questions. I have a question, but let me give you the ones from the texter here. And we want to thank all our texters, those of you that reached out to us on WhatsApp, 3061065. Hi, could you, how could I know if your pancreas is not producing insulin? Is it that your sugar level will just go up? So that's a twofold, right? So if your sugar level is high, does it mean that your pancreas is not producing? How do you know when that is not happening?
Right. So usually, when we diagnose type 1 diabetics, we usually diagnose them at a very young age. So it's autoimmune, meaning that you will really get these things being diagnosed at a young age. Yes, you will have certain people being diagnosed earlier, but more commonly, you will see it diagnosed at a young age. Now, when we get into type 2 diabetics, we usually associate it with your lifestyle. So if somebody is obese, or if somebody, if we know they're living a sedentary lifestyle, and we check and we notice that their glucose level is high, more than likely it's a type 2 diabetic. There are, and this is going to get complicated as well, there are certain tests that can tell you whether or not the pancreas is producing this insulin. And it's called a C-peptide test that can usually be performed for type 1 diabetics.
But is this test running through the blood?
Is a blood test as well, and it will tell you if the pancreas is producing insulin. But we usually just do that or reserve it for type 1 diabetics.
Okay.
You know, more than likely, we know a type 2 diabetic based on your history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and based on the way that you eat, based on the way that you have a workout regime, anything like that. So we could tell which one is a type 1 versus a type 2 diabetic.
Interesting.
And then there are certain complications as well that are associated more with type 2 or more with type 1 diabetics. So we really just, it's really just a clinical type of thing that we do. It's a clinical diagnosis some of the time, but of course we do the blood tests, etc., to do a full diagnosis to manage or tailor the management to the patient.
You know, I wanted to ask one of my final thoughts in going through before we conclude the lunchtime doctor today. Meats, you know. And you know, I make joke all the time, and I say, if you come to me and you say, let's save the whales, I'd be reluctant to spend my money. But if I had the last two chickens in the world and you say we want to spend money to get them a nice room so they'll make more chickens, I will buy the hotel for them.
Yeah.
Because we had to save the chickens. We had to save the ducks, the goats. We had to save that. We ain't going to save a pig. Pig could go bad. But let's talk meats quickly in general. You know, is it bad for you?
I would not say that. I think that we do get B12 a lot from proteins, especially lean proteins like chicken breast.
Mm-hmm.
So it is good. It does have its advantages. But when we talk about red meats and the denser meats, then, you know, we can run into problems if we eat too much of it.
So red meats is something like beef?
Yes. Yeah.
Or horse?
Right.
Well, I don't know who eats a horse.
What do you mean? You never had horse?
Horse soup.
Horse food. You ginking joke, boy. Listen, man. The only thing me eating is snake, you know?
I've had alligator. I've never had a horse.
You had alligator.
Yeah.
How the alligator cut? Listen, man. I was in a Tobago Fest a couple of years back. Some harvest or something that in Tobago, my brother and Karima. I went all of us liming there. The man had an alligator cooking in a pot. I only knew it was alligator because I went back for seconds and I see the head in a bucket.
Oh my God.
Like, all your, not alligator, but caiman. You know, hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello? Yes.
Hey, what's going on there?
Cool.
Yeah, pork, is red meat or white meat? We have a big discussion here.
All right. So, pork, is it red meat or white meat? What is pork?
I would generally say it is bad meat, right? Pork is not one of the good meats to eat.
I don't know if it's white or red. I honestly don't know.
But it's not a good meat to eat.
So pork in general is not healthy?
No, but you know what? I think I would classify it under red meat.
Mm-hmm.
Because white meat would be things like chicken or fish.
Yeah, so the leaner things are better because they don't have as much fat. You see that saturated fat?
So that's what the pork has.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, are you saying pork is bad because you don't like it? Or are you talking from a medical standpoint?
From a medical perspective.
I had to ask that, folks, because if you see the man talking pork there, it's like, I want to know if he don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, or if it's just bad in general.
I don't eat pork. I just don't like pork.
So like, have you ever had pork?
No.
So how you know you don't like it?
I just know.
That's like me saying I don't like yogurt. I've never had yogurt, but something about the smell of yogurt.
You know what turned me off of pork?
What?
When I was younger, I saw black pudding and what it was made out of.
The blood.
I don't eat
pudding.
Yeah. And
know how you not get me to eat nothing.
No. So you're not getting me to eat pork after I've had that experience.
And you know, some years ago I was in the States, right? I was with my cousin, and my cousin invited me to this party, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, we going to this thing there, whatever. So I say, sure, yeah, I'm going. But, you know, leave your climate going up there, catch the flu. So I'm feeling a little nasal. So I said, boy, I don't think I go in that party again, you know. Mm-hmm. Get the neighbor next door. Oh, you mean you're not going again? I'm like, yeah, change my mind. Yeah, but you have never been there. So you see what I'm going with that. So you saying you don't like pork, but you never had it. So you can know you don't like it. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm type 2 diabetic.
Uh-huh.
And sometime when the diabetic get high...
Hey, look at Tiara. High. Oh, sorry. That came out loud. Go ahead. Sometime when the diabetic, when it get high...
Mm-hmm.
When the sugar get high, I'll start vomit and get cold sweat.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. And what happened, I have a clot in my lungs too.
Right.
And I have a big clot in my belly too.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
So I don't know if all of that medication and so on, thing and so on,
interact with each other. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that, for one, you're going to be on some blood thinners at the least. You're going to be on some potent drugs for the diabetes. But what I would say is if you are having those symptoms like the vomiting, that means you are impending in terms of a diabetic emergency, right? Because you have something like gastritis, which could be part of a big emergency term for diabetes. So I would say you need to go to the doctor and let them adjust the diabetic medication, right? Because sometimes things change just in a matter of months in terms of how much you need. You may need more, especially if you're sick. If you're not sick, these doses can change.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So I know we're against time there. So my mom had a sore. So she saw, but you know, opinion from different people, saw them because they saw it dark. They say I have to go and get tests again to make sure it's good. But it all healed up and everything. So what's your opinion? I'll listen to it. Thanks all again.
All right. So when it says sore, the question is it a cut or is it a mole or some sort of...
I believe it was a cut. An ulcer. I believe it's between a cut and an ulcer because it healed.
Right. Yeah. So in ulcers, we have different types. We have arterial, we have venous, we could have traumatic, and we could have autoimmune. We could keep going down the list in terms of sores, right? Mm. So sometimes, depending on where the sore is, it can suggest a sort of malignancy.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So if the doctor is actually suggesting you test it, I suggest you listen to him because it's not routine that we test sores. Yeah. We generally just treat because it's usually like
tell what it is. Yeah.
So if he's saying that you should test it, I agree with him. You should test it. Make sure it's not some sort of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. So we have about 1 o'clock, a little after one. But I have a couple questions still before we wrap up. We have a minute or two.
Yeah.
So somebody is now asking, so is duck meat bad to eat? You know, they go and ask you that. So I don't know.
Is it the same thing with the fat content, you know?
So duck, you can't eat duck neither?
No, it's not that you can't eat
moderation.
It.
Moderation.
Like, you can't eat it.
Moderation.
I'm not telling you to go and eat duck every single day.
Exactly.
So, yeah, people enjoy red meats, you know, in moderation. You can't eat red meats every single day. You
that
can't.
Bad for you?
Like you had some steak yesterday.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's...
She had steak?
Know? Yeah.
You bought her steak?
yeah.
Or she cooked it?
You bought it.
Okay. If it had only tell me she cooked that steak, I say I get through. I say, well, all right, boy. If it had only tell me that. How was the steak? Medium rare? Well done.
Medium.
Yeah, I find a well done steak a little rubbery, boy.
It's too much, yeah.
How it's too much? Too much what?
It's too much. Too hard.
Yeah, too rubbery. Yeah. Tough, boy. Mm-hmm. I always think I like my thing, but I try the medium rare and, you know, the medium... Yeah, that was a little better. But that well done steak, boy. Pressure in my tail, boy. I see now, boy. Somebody's now asking, I read somewhere about type 3 diabetes or type 3C, which is linked to Alzheimer's disease. Can the doctors explain the connection here?
So long story short, essentially, we're talking about the dysregulation of glucose in the blood. Now, evidence is showing that similar things happen in the brain and have different things called tau proteins.
Tau.
And and they cause scarring and unusual connections in the brain that actually predispose you to Alzheimer's. So all they're trying to say is that the way the Alzheimer's behaves is just like how diabetes behaves.
But Alzheimer's, well, we could probably talk about that tomorrow. Somebody is now making a pronunciation here. They said, hi, just on the pork topic. Pork is considered to be red meat.
Yes.
But in terms of being a bad meat, lamb is considered the worst in terms of bad cholesterol or saturated fat.
And that's good to know. Because
I really like lamb, boy.
Yeah.
I do eat it regular. I do eat it regular.
I agree.
Can't tell you when last I had it.
A lean cut of lamb is nice.
Lean cuts.
Yeah. What about a lean cut of pork?
Well, if you can.
Does it have any lean part?
He just don't like pork.
That's what I said. I had to ask him. I feel bad talking the pork, you know, because he don't like it. You know what I mean? But
you don't eat pork, so.
Yeah, I mean, I have tried recently to eat turkey bacon. I eat turkey bacon.
It's good.
And then vex, because you know I know bacon's supposed to be pork.
Oh boy.
It's like the one time I bought a veggie roti and couldn't make.
Oh boy.
I bit into it about 3 bites or so, 4 max. But by the second, by the third bite into that roti, my mouth was telling me I supposed to bite a piece of meat,
chicken,
bone, something in there. And my brethren eating, you ever seen bhaji, bodhi, all the...
And
I pelt with the roti.
Oh,
I was vexed. Yeah. It's the worst. And I bite in St. James. It was the worst roti ever in my life. I not going down that road. Certain things, you know, the pork is bad for you. And why? Because of what pork eats, right?
Yeah. Scavenger.
It's a scavenger.
Yeah.
You always eat shrimp?
I do. He doesn't.
You don't like?
He's
the same principle.
It's a religious thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I could go with that. If it's a religious thing, we. But shrimp, what?
He doesn't know.
Half your life gone anyway. Yeah, especially if you get a good pepper shrimp by that place on the avenue by the boulevard. I ain't calling name, but it's a place by the boulevard. Like one of the best pepper shrimps in the country, boy. Mm-hmm. I ain't know nobody who topping that so far with the sauce, boy. Yeah, there's no one to change chefs. Because I'd go and I'd get, I'd be like, there's it. And then as a certain chef, when they hit you, they'd be like, yeah, there's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you don't eat shark?
No. Shark urinates in itself, so, you know.
Yeah, no, but yeah, listen. Nobody talking facts.
Yeah.
Good, if you get a good piece of shark meat, smelling pissy though. You will spice that urinal bowl, this thing was seasoning. Real talk, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you don't eat shark. So a good bacon shark at Maracas is not going to attract you.
Nah, I'll take the kingfish.
I tell you, the mama guy with the shark, eh? It's bacon catfish again, so bacon carrot.
Yeah.
You're getting bacon, all kind of fish, but I ain't saying in between you might catch a shark, you know. But it's real catfish you're getting and carrot in your tail up in Maracas, babe. Don't let them fool you. So that mean you eating duck?
I've had it. Not a fan.
So that mean you eating manigou?
Nah.
You eating manigou?
I've never had it. No.
You ever had snake?
No.
Nah.
Would you try it?
No.
Nah, I wouldn't eat the wild meat, to be honest.
No kind of wild meat? You ain't eating an iguana?
Nah.
No.
Nah.
Watch Britney face. You know, I have to ask. I mean, religious reasons I could thoroughly respect. You know, that's fine. Yeah. But, yeah, but why ain't eating iguana, though?
I don't know. I don't.
Iguana eating fruits?
I just don't like how they look.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, when we put it in the pot, they'll look different. No,
I don't know. I feel bad like when I see them run across the room.
Now somebody sort of sent me some pictures for you all here about people having pork on a grill. Oh. Look, ribs grilling here. Come on, grilling some ribs. We bad talking to people pork and a man has some pork on a
once you don't have it every day, then yeah, you know, that's fine. That's fine.
Somebody says, Davey, to quote you, if you haven't had it, how do you know you don't like it?
Because
this person just being malicious. They're telling me about bread and condensed milk.
Oh,
something I've never had.
Oh my God.
You had it?
No.
You never
I've
eat
never
it?
Had it?
Dr. Taylor?
Never had
you all, it. You all born in Trinidad?
I've had condensed milk and Jello. That is
well, yeah. That's a thing. You really heading for diabetes. That's a thing. Condensed milk and Jello is a thing.
That's like once a year.
Yeah. When I was young, but the bread on the, somebody is now telling me, I could never know I don't like bread and condensed milk if I never had it. That's a talk will always forever and a day live with me.
Yeah.
And people just tell me I'm not a Trinidadian because I've never tried this delicacy.
It's like Crixon tea, I guess.
You just eat Crixon tea?
Yeah, I used to have Crixon tea. Yeah.
Mike, tell me no. Nah, nobody ain't doing them thing, boy. Crixon.
Cricks and peanut butter.
Yes. Yeah. Cricks and cheese.
And cheese, yeah.
Yes. That's it. Mm-hmm. Don't put no cricks and dip it in no tea and hand me a teaspoon and hand me. You mad. So, Taylor Gill? Well, I shouldn't say Taylor, but Miss Brittany Gill. All right. So, you know, you go get some cricks and tea. You go get some of that. Let me hear what it's supposed to say.
Here now, Davey. They want to mess with Trini and the pork, boy. Seriously?
Oh God!
No, well, I mean, from a dietary perspective, you know, I heard about the badness of pork meat.
Yeah.
Persons show you on the internet all the time. There was this one video, and we're still keeping in the realm of health here, where there was a slab of pork, piece of pork on a table, and they opened it out of the pack from a supermarket.
Yeah.
And they took a cook.
I saw that video.
And they start pouring it on the pork, and what came out? I'm like.
Yeah.
But here we'll give him a consolation. The parasite. Yeah. But here we'll give him the consolation to still eat the pork. I say when I cook it.
You'll kill it.
You'll kill whoever in there. It well cooked. So, but it was scary.
Oh my God.
Would you all have a cook?
Yeah. Like, but not often.
But you will drink a beastly cold Coke now and then. But you know, if you take that same Coke and drop it in your toilet bowl, it cleans your bowl.
So I've heard.
Well, I see it.
I haven't seen
it. You know, it's the same thing. You can't avoid certain things, you know?
People just make up all kind of thing, you know? Somebody now telling me cricks and banana does lash. Waiters. I believe them just call and just make up things, you know, just to harass my brain. Nobody eating no cricks and banana. You cutting a banana and put some cricks on it.
No.
Nobody ain't doing... Really?
No.
Cricks and tuna, yeah.
Well, yes. Cricks and sardine.
Yeah.
Cricks is lash, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. slap.
But yeah, it's not good to eat.
Crick's yeah, yeah, slap.
It's not good to eat.
Crick's not
moderation,
good to eat.
Moderation.
Yeah, you can have it in moderation.
It's moderation.
But it's just flour.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But Crick's, boy, you boys are made with the Crick's and all, boy. You that coffee nong, boy. I have done that many nights. We show after a little party day, throw some egg in the potty and pick up some Crick's. I eat it with Dixie biscuits and all.
Ooh.
The Dixie and the boiled egg.
It's good for salt a and black nice, pepper. A short meal, you know?
Well, quick snack.
Yeah.
I love grilled pork. I love to put my pork on the grill. Get it down to the black meat, you know, boy. Oh, God, oh, God. They're telling me for pork and go, oh, God, I'm dead. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Oh, they help me now. Tell me what to eat now. Everything and good teeth, everything and good teeth. Go, God, I'll make up all your mind. Oh, God, but, God, baby, I'm in love with pork, you know.
No, you can eat your pork just yeah, not every day. Just moderation. Not every day.
Not every day. Do eat it every day.
Yeah.
You know the cartoon Peppa Pig?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel he go barbecue Peppa Pig one of these days. You know, he will bake Peppa Pig for how many of them at Christmas. And all. Well, guys, it has certainly been fun chatting with you all this afternoon. We went down, the meals and the healthy eating. This man really showing me some pictures of some grilled pork. You know? My mouth, I'm not eating pork again, Doc. We're done with that. We're done with that. So you eating no ham and thing? Christmas time and thing, no ham and thing by
turkey ham.
Who the hell is turkey ham? Where did this come from? You just make up these things or what? Ham and turkey could never.
I think it's just the turkey prepared in the same way as a ham. Yeah. That's it.
Davy, good afternoon. I eat Crick's and bananas. Oh, the next texter.
Wow.
Dr. Brittany and Dr. Taylor, I challenge you all when you come tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday, our final installation of the Lunchtime Doctor. Let's tell me how the Crick's and bananas taste. Get a Grammy shell banana. Or a sikiye fig, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them sweet figs on them. And put some Crick's. And you tell me
you
how
it
is. You know
what? It may taste good because Crick's and jam taste good. So, maybe.
I don't know, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, then if you're thinking that, then put some ketchup on it.
No.
Ooh, nah.
I'm not the ketchup person.
Really?
Only if it's at the side.
At the side?
Yeah.
Do you? You cook, right?
Yeah.
No, I go to ask if it does cook, but you cook, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you cook a meal and somebody comes and says, you know, they ask for some ketchup with your food. Are you offended as a woman?
It depends on what I made.
Really?
Yeah. So like if I made fries,
Well, okay. No, but you cook a nice pilau.
No. What? No. I would not.
Oh, you make some nice lentil peas or something. Mm. I say anything. Can you cook lentil peas?
Yes.
I just ask it.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure you know you're there. So you cook a nice lentil peas with some turkey, rice. Some nice rice.
And chicken.
Yeah. Oh, not turkey. You chicken. Yeah. You really like chicken?
I like chicken and turkey.
Well, all right, but chicken.
Yeah.
All right. So we're cooking with chicken.
Yeah.
Stew, bake, barbecue.
Stew.
Stew chicken with a nice sauce and thing. Mm-hmm. And then that person say, they 2 spoons and say, Brittany, you have any ketchup?
Ooh.
I wouldn't feel offended. I think I would just...
That's madness. Yeah, that facial expression alone means... That facial expression alone means... I want everybody to know that this is not a food segment. People start to mention Miss Sara roti and ripe mango.
Ooh,
you eating that too?
Nah.
Michael, you're a customer in the show.
Yeah.
You're what going on? People, I believe my texters and WhatsAppers, there's makeup call. There's makeup food. Who eating them thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you gonna hand me a Sara roti with what?
Banana. It's a banana.
And ripe mango.
Oh my God. Nah.
You slice up some starch on some julienne and give me.
Nah.
What is that? Who eating them thing? Grow up hard, boy. Time's tough by you. So, guys, I mean, we had a wonderful conversation this afternoon. Any final thoughts you want to leave with our listeners until tomorrow?
I mean,
you're
know.
You're coming tomorrow, right?
Well, you know, I mean,
what I would say is
you have everything in moderation.
In moderation. Yeah. So you try a piece of pork in moderation. You understand? Yeah. Eat a piece. Yeah, boy, shark is peeing itself. That's thing with me, boy. I like bacon shark, you know. You know, I mean, just revisiting and rethinking and calibrating my brain, all these different foods. So lettuce, is that good for you? Cressels.
Yeah.
Once you wash it properly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta prepare your things properly to be safe.
To be safe. Wash your things.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.